The Grail cannot pass beyond the Great Seal. That is the boundary and the price of immortality.
Hey, welcome back to the North Florida Sports Network. We're talking the Grail, the ACC's Holy Grail, the Grant of Rice. Had court today up in Mecklenburg County, North Carolina.
You like Carl Mecklenburg,
yeah,
right?
Where the ACC is suing Florida State. Finally got some actual court today. We're going to talk about it. Clemson has sued ACC as well. Welcome to the party, pal.
Yeah.
I'd like to see if the ESPN lawyers show up for with that hearing.
Oh, I'd just like to see ESPN call them criminals.
Oh, yeah. The old criminal and the trade secret. Well, it's not a secret anymore, because the grant of rights are public. And that's it.
Whoa, whoopity doo! I'm not going to read one page of it. That's what we got guys on the internet for? The old tweeter machine?
I mean, listen, the judge pretty much said it goes whatever state's law. And in Florida, everything's public.
It's going to be unsealed. The lawyers are going to be able to look at it, find the loophole. Boom, bam. Yada, yada, yada. Cut to, we're in the Big Ten 2025.
Yeah.
Start giving us money.
Well, the April 9th is the date for FSU's lawsuit against the ACC here in Florida. And really nothing was decided from the judge today. But I don't, you know, the point, he's like, what am I doing here, Carl?
Yeah, he definitely didn't seem like he was stoked to be. Guys, what the hell are we doing here?
Well, there's a lot of money at hand. And I love Miami coming out and saying that they're happy right here in the ACC.
Yeah.
That means
well.
Feel like they know that the ship's going down anyway, so they want to look like a loyal conference member to any new conference that
right.
may be looking. That's what that looks like.
Well, they're also part of, I think, five other schools in the conference that were, you know, that voted to sue Florida State.
Right.
So, you know.
So they're going to sue Clemson now, who has joined?
No.
Suing. They filed that.
I mean, I don't know. We'll see what happens, dude. Like, I think ESPN just, you know, they countersued Clemson because they have to. Follow the same process they did with us. But they're not, nothing's going to happen in that Clemson lawsuit until this one.
Is there anything, right? So I don't think any of these lawsuits are actually going to happen. They're just going to,
it'll be interesting if they, you know, with the unsealing of the grant of rights and
find a
the
way
whole
to
agreement
use it.
Between ACC and ESPN. I would assume that, they're confident, Florida State being them, that they're confident their lawyers can find a loophole or a way to reduce that ridiculous buyout.
Well,
so we'll see.
ESPN's there. So, you know, they just don't want their trade secrets, you know, out there.
Sure.
But, you know.
We don't want people knowing.
Cannot pass beyond the Great Seal. That is the boundary and the price of immortality.
That's always going to be
cool. So then we'll just stay here inside our little cave with you, Mr. Knight, and we'll just read this grant of rights till we come up with a way to get out of here. Then you can keep the seal. You can keep the grant of rights. Keep it all locked up and everything after they've had their way with it. That was the whole point.
Right.
They don't want people to be able to come in there and dissect it.
It's just case management. It's about where it's going to happen. I mean, didn't they file this knowing that Florida State was going to file suit, so they tried to beat him to it.
Right. You know, they argue that we knew, you know, there was an imminent threat of lawsuit, I guess, and then, like, there's some kind of – dude, it's – I don't know, man. I'm not a lawyer, right? They make all kinds of arguments, and you know, they reference all kinds of past cases to set precedent and this and that, and it's just, like, it's pretty boring, and you start to understand why lawyers get paid a lot of money to sit there and you know, understand all that talk there. That legal mumba jumba.
Well, right? Yeah.
But the bottom line is they don't want it going to Florida because of the Sunshine Law.
Right.
Because everything is
well, you had the judge kind of
yeah.
leaning like, hey, I'm going to,
right.
It's kind of whatever state law is going to have precedent there.
Right. There was a point in which the ACC lawyer was, you know, kind of laying out what it says in the agreement. You know, that you have to agree you can't disclose this here unless, you know, you're in a state where you have a law that says you can. And that would be
Florida.
Listen,
man, you knew something was up when they had, so when it was like harnessed and protected like it was in this day and age.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they knew what was coming. They're just trying to prolong it.
And there's all kinds of other like shady stuff that they don't really want getting out there.
Swofford.
Yeah, the whole deal with Swofford and Raycom is something that they you know, obviously they don't want other networks knowing about that because it is going to be used against them. You know, that's going to be, I mean, but tough shit. You shouldn't have done it.
Right.
You know, your backroom shenanigans came back to bite you in the butt.
The material of like the fiduciary duty to the ACC. The judge did ask them for an example they were not able to provide. That's
yeah,
because you have a duty to your university and you're trying to compete to get better, right? So what's this duty to the ACC crap? I mean,
yeah, that was kind of the whole, I thought the whole point of conferences was to like assist the schools, you know, like there's really
no argue other, it's like, hey, you signed it. There's the argument, hey, you signed it, now you're upset because someone's flipping it and making more off of you, and you want more.
Right.
But
well, the argument that Florida State is also making is like, you guys are adding more schools to dilute the deal even more. Mm-hmm. Like, now we got to split the pie even more ways.
Yeah.
And you're unwilling to, like, nah, man.
Right.
And so I guess they're... When ACC and ESPN bring up the fact, well, you agreed to the deal and everything, the argument from Florida State is that they were misled. You know, they and all the other member schools at the time were misled. You know, the deal was misrepresented by whoever was in charge. It was probably Swofford at the time. It had to be.
Right.
I don't think Phillips has been there that long.
Definitely wasn't Phillips.
Yeah. But. So that's the whole basis of all of this. We'll see. Like, we'll see what's in the grant of rights. We'll see if they're actually dumb enough to put it on paper. The fact that they're pulling a fast one on all their member schools. There's a lot of rumor or theory that there's not really a revised date for the deal. So it expires here in a couple of years, like 2027. Like, they never really put an actual time stamp on it to lock the schools in like they had threatened. If that's the case, then you would see Florida State pay whatever it is to have a 2-year penalty.
Right.
And that's, yeah, we're out of here.
Yeah. Can't afford that.
We'll pay the next couple of years and we're gone.
Well,
but $500 million?
Yeah.
Nah, man. That's just not ever going to fly. They're going to argue that forever. They'll never pay that. Like, it just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just mumbo jumbo hasn't really...
Right, now it's just going to be months and months of everybody giving their take on...
This season, ACC is happening. Florida State, Clemson will both be in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nothing's getting done before...
But Clemson joining is big, you know, to have their whole other action there.
Right.
It's going to open
some
eyes.
And their lawsuit has a couple of different points than Florida State. You know, their big argument is that no other conference anywhere in any, like in any sport, in any kind of league anywhere, has any kind of penalty even close to that of the ACC.
Right.
And like, it just doesn't make sense for the ACC to have this wild buyout penalty. Like what? You know, right. They question that, you know, they say, number one, it's like, you know, you can't do it because nobody else does. But also, like, why did the ACC feel it necessary to set such a high fee?
Because they knew this would happen.
Right. They knew that people would eventually figure out the deal.
Two different leagues. You're trying to make money off where you can. And the value in the ACC is right now it's Florida State and Clemson football games. And right. They're like, right. Well, hey, how come Mississippi State's getting this and Vanderbilt's getting this?
Well, because they legitimize the SEC in the regular season.
Right, right, right. That's what the problem is.
Yeah, we only need a couple ACC schools that can compete.
And that's the thing with these conferences, like owning the sport. Now it's through the TV deals.
Right, it's the networks that own the sport now.
But if you really, it needs to be based on who's going to put up competitive balance here.
Yeah.
And deserves, I guess.
Right. And you know, the SEC commissioner wasn't walking around like he was the godfather of college football until ESPN launched the SEC network.
Right.
Like, even when they were tied in with CBS for years and years.
And they're not going to want
to. He was still just the commissioner of a conference. Now Greg Sankey is everywhere.
Yeah.
He isn't. He's got a hand in everything.
Well, that's going to happen when you don't have.
He's just a tentacle of ESPN,
right? And they're right there in the lawsuit,
right?
You
saw Jim Phillips lobbying for the ACC and basketball, all over the place. Come, you know, last week, whenever Selection Sunday was. Where was he during the football playoff, dude? He was MIA,
right?
No TV time. Mm-hmm. Got told to sit in a corner. Read your little Time magazine, man, dude. Like, so.
Writing's been on the wall. They just jump-started it. We talked about that. But, hey, pro day.
Yeah. A
lot of good players out of Florida State going to be drafted this year, more than a long time.
It sounds like Akeem Dinn had a pretty good pro day. Which is
the
big.
Only one that didn't get invited.
Yeah, he didn't get to go to the combine.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was an official on his 40, but it from the little rumors on the internet, it was pretty damn fast. One thing I read said 4.38 is what somebody was mumbling while they were at pro day. If he ran anywhere near that as a safety, he's got a chance catching on somewhere, man. I thought he kind of got slighted by not getting invited to Indianapolis.
Well, I mean, it's all right.
The injury probably set him back a little bit.
The scouts will find you. The talent will.
But that's just another one of FSU's guys that come testing time, just showing out.
Well, also, I think you're only going to see what they did in Indianapolis, just more of a confirmation of that. You know, Keon Coleman probably could have, maybe a better 40 time might help him. But
right.
I think if you like a guy like that, I was at John Harbaugh a couple years ago. I forget what prospect, but he knew he liked the guy he had. He didn't even care.
Yeah.
He was almost hoping that his 40 time wasn't good.
Yeah.
In Indianapolis. He's like, I hope he doesn't do a good 40.
Yeah, like and that's definitely possible. There's somebody sitting there like, oh, man, he ran a 4.6, dude.
Right.
We're snatching him as soon as someone's like,
oh, this is great. We need a guy like this. We've seen all we need from this guy.
Somebody needs a receiver. They can't use their first-round pick
on
a receiver unless it was deemed one of the top guys. They need other things as well, but they also need a receiver. He runs a 4.6. Like, oh, he's going to be there at the beginning of the second round.
We'll see. I mean, you got the guy from Texas. You know, he didn't really put up that much numbers.
No.
But he's got the speed.
Here's the thing, man. You got Marvin Harrison Jr. And that just because He doesn't work out. He didn't work out at Ohio State's pro day. So you're just drafting him number one receiver just based off of what?
What you've seen on the field.
Well, yeah, what you've seen on the field, right? So, I mean, there's no reason why somebody doesn't see that with Keon Coleman. Right. Like, yeah, I really don't give a shit that he ran a 4.6.
Exactly. I think it's one of those things where it could only – I mean, obviously, if he ran a – outstanding 40 time, he would, it would hurt,
right,
help him, but he had to have known. But also, he's not going to back down from the challenge. And you saw another, I think when it came down to ball, you know, he saw him, he looked the best.
Yeah.
And he was running some of those.
It's like,
drills,
man, so. It's like you said, when you said that the months leading up into the draft after the combine is just everybody talking out of their ass, man. Like they're taking all those testing numbers and like, oh God, this guy's going here. These are obviously the best receivers. Look at this 40 he ran, you know. Nothing but talk. Nobody really knows what the teams are going to do. Some of them are obvious. Somebody's, you know, obviously Caleb Williams is going to Chicago. The QBs are going to come off the board first. Mm-hmm. It happens every year. But in terms of like the receivers and when you get into like who's the second and third receiver taken, you know, who's going here, what running back, like, dude, nobody knows shit.
Hey, they're going to come in like crazy, though.
Yeah.
When they do. Also, we had, you know, practices underway, a couple practices under, you know.
Spring
got
practice.
DJ out there.
Yeah, rocking number 4.
Yeah. He listened, and he guessed he wasn't going to go with 5. He's going with 4?
Yeah.
All right, and then
I mean,
you have
Deuce Spann's number 5. Wait, he might have changed number 1. No, he don't. And nobody needs to wear number 5.
Not on offense. Also have Glenn out there running. He looks a lot bigger, and you know he didn't. I think just getting on the field is going to be a lot of experience when it comes to just confidence.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was a true freshman last year,
right? And you have Luke Cromanhawk, but it's DJ Uy's job.
Yeah.
You know it.
Yeah, I mean, there shouldn't even be a question.
Just got to get him.
If there is a question, then there's some right. big reason for concern.
Right. I mean, you have a guy that was the top-ranked quarterback out of high school, right? He go in into Clemson, probably followed – you know, it was a lot of pressure. Then, you know, we went out to Oregon
yeah.
State.
Well, I mean, he came into Clemson. He followed 2 generational-type quarterbacks. I mean, and Clemson was really good when Deshaun Watson was there.
Right.
Like, everywhere. And then when Trevor Lawrence is there, like, everywhere, all over the field. The talent kind of starts to take a dip right when DJ shows up.
Yeah.
You know, and –
I think
to
that,
be fair, yeah, they yeah. won the ACC, man.
Right,
they,
right, right.
Like the year that everybody's hammering them, and you know,
this is a
what's
type.
The kid Klubnik. Everybody wanted Klubnik playing.
Right.
They still went 10-2 and won the ACC.
Right.
So, again, like I think a lot of it was people just trashing on the kid because he didn't come in and do what Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence did.
Well, I think he made the right decision and to transfer. He has a chance to go back to the conference he left.
Yeah.
To show I mean, this is kind of an audition like any other for the pro level. I mean, if you can come up here and improve, learn, adapt to a system, he has more to gain than he would in a rookie year, probably in a draft stock improvement. By having a good season at Florida State this year.
Right. What you can show is you can come up to Florida State and you buy into the work environment, which is going to be what it's like in the NFL. So you could come into the locker room and you buy right into that just, you know, work all the time mindset. Then, I mean, you're going to get your shots throwing it downfield. Mm-hmm. And that's where you're going to, you know, that's where you're going to wow people.
Right.
Downfield shots. That's what the offense. I mean, yeah, we're gonna run the ball, but it's dude. It you know we got speed now on the outside.
Right, Benson.
Real speed. Yeah, yeah.
Another Benson.
Yeah,
and you see
and he's got a gear that you know, the other, you know, Coleman and Wilson didn't.
DJ's got the arm talent. He's got the speed. I've seen it. He can throw the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Hakeem Williams ain't no, you know, ain't no baby. Huge.
Yeah.
So he's going to have his opportunities in the passing game to impress scouts. Like, there will be the chance for that. But honestly, dude, I think it's just a kind of a mental just come back and sort of show all the people that were the first ones to doubt him. Like, you know, you come back to the conference. You got the Tigers coming into Doak this year.
Right. That's going to be a huge game.
Yeah.
Well, we started the show talking about Clemson and Court. Just doesn't seem right, but that's not going anywhere.
I mean, yeah. I can't imagine the ACC. Like, what I want to know is who's going to be the next. There's got to be another school.
It's not going to be Miami.
No, of course not.
Well, they're private.
They're
not going to see.
We're not worried. They're not worried about money.
Right. The lawyer didn't even mention them.
Yeah. They got huge anti-Castro war chests, man. The shit that was funding the revolution down there is coming in.
Well, I mean, you have the two big dogs, Clemson and Florida State.
What you need is a team from Tobacco Road.
Right.
Carolina. I'm looking at North Carolina. Dude, you got to come off the top rope, North Carolina. Just end it. But you know what? Actually, they make a great point. Listen, we had to deal with Swofford for a long time. We know he was an asshole. Like, he was wrong. Let's just everybody go our separate ways.
Yep. So three different trials. I mean, there's going to be more in different conferences. So, and then, who knows? It's got to be, eventually there's got to be a commissioner. The sport.
Yeah, but I mean, there's really no way you can escape the politics of it, though. Because if there's a commissioner, then what's he tied to? Because Greg Sankey's going to be the first one.
Right. So this is when, you know, by the fact that ESPN's lawyers are showing up at this hearing, you know, that's what, why I don't see the SEC being the right spot for Florida State. I know a lot of people think that they are because of locally and traditions and travel, which is probably true. And
yeah, well, they're
lawyers doing lawyer stuff.
And it's the thought that at the end of the day, money is money.
Right.
You know, and ESPN, if anything, they just don't want Fox to be able to come into the South.
Exactly. And that's I said that the whole time. If we go to the SEC, it's just a defense.
Right.
To get them out.
ESPN is total, like,
they're fine with not having. We'll
take you, Florida State.
Yeah.
We're going.
Well, we got that. We got
keep you like Mississippi
baseball
State.
If they ever play with the weather, we'll react to that. And we got more practice, spring, FAMU to talk about. And we'll talk to you next time right here on the North Florida Sports Network.
We had to go. Our ride was here. We got a shuttle to our